Hi, everybody. Hey, one thing that I think your neighbour really needs to know right now is that they are loved. And I wonder at times under a lot of people's anxiety and depression, there is a really deep unmet need for love. That many of us actually are very love-starved, but we're unaware of that. There's like a real... just need to be known and to be loved. My name's Barry, and I do this Turning the Page thing once a week. And I just thought I'd like to share with you a few things about love today. There are a lot of lonely people that... maybe you're one of them. And I want to tell you that you are loved. But love, I believe, is probably the most dangerous word in the world. And when heard, it can be interpreted in so many different ways. Like, you know, it can be romanticized and sexualized, and it can take a life of its own on. And people add on things to it, and when you say you love them or you say you are loved, they will hear all sorts of different interpretations of that. See, I love my wife, I love my family, I love my friends, and that all sounds right and proper, but what about when you say you are loved to someone who is struggling with suicide or, you know, depression, anxiety, someone who is psychotic, and you say you are loved? What would they hear? What would they hear from that? And would they hear the heart intention that you are actually trying to convey to them? See, everybody, I believe, needs to know that they are loved. And why are you loved? Tell me, why are you loved? Yeah, it's quite a profound question, and for many people, they may dispute that they are loved at all. You know, they have tied love into some sort of performance that they have to do this, and then they might get love. They have to look a certain way, or they have to say the right words, or they cook the perfect meal, or earn a certain amount of money, and then they will be loved. And if they follow the rules, then they will experience love. They put all the power of hopeful love into the hands of other people. And that's always risky and fraught with potential manipulation and servitude. I'm going to tell you, you're loved because you're you. That's pretty profound, isn't it? You're loved because you're you. And I quote the great Dr. Seuss when he says this. He says that today you are you. It's true, that is truer than true. There is no one alive who is youer than you. It's quite profound. There's no one alive youer than you. And you are loved because you are you. And what would, I wondered, what would be the perfect love, perfect behavior of love? What could you say, well, that is just perfect love? How would you know for 100% that you are loved? I think it would be when you feel genuinely listened to, that you are acknowledged and known, that the lover, the one who is listening, has not been indifferent to your heart. They have shown focused knowing and desire to just connect with you. Eli Wiesel, who was a Holocaust survivor, he wrote this, that the opposite of love is not hate. It's indifference. And indifference actually kills relationship. And in those little words were of indifference, were like, whatever, or I don't care, or tell it to someone who cares, or can't be bothered. You know, that will already shoot the wounded. You know, if you had that said to you, you know, I don't care, you know, I can't be bothered. You know, the greatest lover of all time, who I believe was Jesus, was never indifferent to the needs of those who others were indifferent to. He was not indifferent to other people. You know, he stepped into the world of shame and failure that people experienced, and had love feasts with the outcasts. And these people who are on the sideline and not in the game, those discarded ones, and those ones who've been invalidated by other people. You know, when I wrote this, I was thinking of this picture of David Haywood, an artist called David Haywood that he painted of the lady caught in adultery from the Bible. And it's quite a profound, whoa, picture that I'd encourage you to come over to the website and have a look at. And it's the picture of the back of a lady naked, down to sort of her waist. And she's looking to her right, I think probably to Jesus. And there's all these men standing in front of her looking like evil. And it's quite a profound picture. And it comes from the story of John 8, 1 to 11, where this woman is caught in adultery and they're about to stone her, and Jesus steps in. He wasn't indifferent. He showed love by actually stepping into the midst of that mess. And you know, can you imagine the terror and the anxiety flooding her, knowing that she was quite likely to be thrown, have stones, large stones thrown on her and killed. But love, Jesus, it reached out and absolutely saturated her life with love. You know, for every broken and hurting person, I'd like them to hear and to know that they are loved. I wonder what would happen if we, when we exchange words of farewell, such as bye, you know, see you later, that instead we said, you are loved. You are loved. Perhaps it would really cause people to think about the vast, you know, reservoir of love that is surrounding them and they're contained within at all times, but they're probably not aware of. This week, you know, here in Auckland and in New Zealand, it's been 1 year since we had those tragic killings down in Christchurch, where a gunman opened up fire in a couple of mosques and killed men, women, children. It was just an absolute just traumatic. But were we, as a people, New Zealanders, and indeed the world, were we indifferent to that pain? No. Absolutely, love flooded in and burst out all around the community of Christchurch and those Muslim people. You know, love conquered hate. Indifference never got a look in. People moved and demonstrated that they cared and they loved. You know, around every one of us, and especially around you, is this vast, untamable lake of love, and it needs to be tapped into. I'm so serious about this. You know, as a child, I was told that I was loved by Jesus because the Bible told me so. You know, that old song, the Bible tells me so. And, you know, that's a real left-brain, logic-based, cold-fish approach to knowing something. Look, I want to know love with a depth of experiential awareness. You know, full emotional awareness, like being held and embraced in the depth of a storm. You know, having a waterfall of powerful love just flowing and washing and pounding against me. You know, I can't experience that love without you. And you can't experience it without me. You know, there has to be a crossing over the divide of rugged independence and self-reliance to the truth of interdependence, that we actually need each other. You know, why does it have to take a funeral before people come around and express how much they love a person, how much they appreciate them? Does it have to be a mass murder before a community says that we love? Look, I want to know that I am loved and have worth beyond my role, my functionality, the strength or the beauty. Can you tell me I'm loved? Someone you're going to meet today needs to hear those words that you are loved. Don't be indifferent to spirit, you know, holy, just giving you little nudge. Tell them that they are loved. C.S. Lewis, he said this, to love at all is vulnerable. Yeah, you're going to be vulnerable to be misinterpreted if you're going to tell somebody that they are loved. Now, Paul, he wrote in 1 Corinthians about love, that he's bankrupt without love. There's nothing. He's bankrupt without love. And that love never gives up. It love cares more for other than for themselves. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut. Love doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others. It doesn't say, it isn't always me first. It doesn't fly up the handle. Love doesn't keep a score of the sins of others. Yeah, some people do that. Love doesn't revel when others grovel. Love takes pleasure in the flowering of truth. Wow, how's that? The flowering of truth. It puts up with anything. Love trusts God always. Always looks for the best. Never looks back. But keeps going to the end. Love never dies. Look, here's a little tweet that I've got on my website that I would encourage you to share and to think about. Mental health is knowing you are loved and making sure others know they are loved too. Hey, here's some quotes to finish with. The opposite of love is not indifference. Opposite of love is not hate. It's indifference. The opposite of art is not ugliness. It's indifference. The opposite of faith is not heresy. It's indifference. The opposite of life is not death. It's indifference. Because of indifference, one dies before one actually dies. Yeah. To be in the window, now listen to this, to be in the window and watch people being sent to concentration camps or being attacked in the street and do nothing, that's being dead. Eli Wiesel. And contrast that to Winnie the Pooh. Some people care too much. I think it's called love. That's from A.A. Milne. And Wiley Carter, she said this, where there is great love, there's always miracles. I believe that. Terence Real, he says, love acts like a giant magnet that pulls out of us like iron filings, every recorded injury, every scar. Oh, I like that imagery, a giant magnet pulling out all the pain and the hurts out of us. And I read this from a lady called Anna Demel. He, Jesus, can only reach as far as I'll read that again. He, Jesus, can only reach as far as you and I are willing to go. And Blaise Pascal, he wrote this, there is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of each man that which cannot be satisfied by any created thing, but only by God the Creator, made known through Christ, through Jesus Christ. Hey, what do you think would happen if we regularly told others you are loved? Just what do you think would happen? Number two is, in your community, who needs to hear you are loved? Who needs to hear it in your circle of people that you know? Number three, how much does isolation and unawareness of love play into a person's depression or anxiety? Hey, I hope you found this helpful. Leave me some comments. Come over to the website, leave some comments there. Email me at barry@turningthepage.info. Love to hear from you. I really do appreciate hearing from people who watch or read or listen to what we're doing here. And if you want to support what we're doing, I worked it out the other day. It's $109.64 US every month that what I'm doing here costs. So if you want to be part of that support team, I would really value that. It just helps keep things ticking along. Hey, hope you have a great week. And find someone that you can say you are loved to. Okay, bye.